SBS Radio.
Binary Security is a cybersecurity consulting firm that I started back in 2008. And we specialise in strategy, governance and assessment for medium to large enterprise businesses.
You mean, what do you do in cybersecurity in this field? Because we learn about cybersecurity when you hear about Russian hacking or Chinese hacking or things like that. But the layperson, what does it involve?
Nowadays, cybersecurity is very much an issue with boards of directors. They realise that it's a significant threat to their business, and they want to mitigate that threat as much as possible. So it's getting a lot of visibility at a very high level. Our bread and butter is we would go into a company, an enterprise, and we would do a capability assessment where we would assess the current cybersecurity maturity level of the organization, and then we would baseline it. So for example, we use a framework out of the United States called NIST. It will rate maturity level and capability on a scale of 0 to 5. And we would go in, do a complete assessment, and let's say your final score comes out at something like 1.5. You're in trouble, basically. So what we would do is we would analyze and assess all the risks, and we would create something like a 12-month security improvement program. We would give an estimate of what it would cost for our services, plus third-party IT providers that would do some of the technical work. And then we generally would present that plan to the board, where they would issue the funding or approve the funding. And then they would either walk away and just hand that to their IT department to solve, or we could run the project for them. We also provide, for example, at a lower level for small to medium business, we provide tools for monitoring their networks and their devices for hackers. So we have specialized tools that can detect anomalies and events in a network and then quickly report on them and then act on them.
Now, when you say CEOs, let's say company directors and all that, are the ones at risk, what kind of threat and what would hackers be looking for? Is it on a personal level? What kind of damage or what kind of danger do they represent to the corporations?
That's a great question. So if you look back in time in the 80s and 90s and maybe a little bit into the 2000s, when hacking wasn't really known mainstream, a lot of hackers would simply get into a network and create chaos and delete data and just cause chaos. Since then, people have found out that that data has actually real value. And so the value is actually hacking into a network and staying in there for as long as possible to gather and vacuum up as much information as they can. If they get lucky, they will get some highly valuable IP from a research and development portion of a company. If it's a law firm, you know, they could get highly sensitive information from clients. And the good old one, you know, financial companies that have got highly sensitive financial information that can be stolen and markets manipulated.
And now, as an indigenous business getting into this space, there aren't many of you.
No, there's not. And that's one of the reasons why I started Binary Security. So I started it for two reasons. Obviously, the big obvious one is to make some money. So to create a business and earn a profit and live a good life. But the other side is, in the 30 years that I've been in IT and the last 15 at senior levels, you never really see a lot, if any, Indigenous IT managers or that Indigenous people that hold positions of any senior level. And I want to change that. So how do I change that? Create my own company where I'm in control of creating those opportunities. So we have a mandate to push as a priority involving Indigenous people in high-tech fields. We want to put on, starting at interns, trainees, postgraduates, we want to create those opportunities for them.
Are there many students in the pipeline? Are there many others who are following in your footsteps?
Unfortunately not. So we are currently in very serious talks with a large reputable university, actually here, right here in Victoria. We are in talks with them to develop an Indigenous engagement policy to get more Indigenous people into studies, high-tech studies such as cybersecurity, and then create a postgraduate employment path for them. And that's where the partnership would come in. They would provide, obviously, the high-level education, and we would provide a path for them to come into the workforce and start building their career.
An event like the one we've just witnessed today pushes your business to the next level. Tell us the next steps from here.
Just in the half an hour after receiving the award, I had many people walk up to me saying that they thought we'd done a really good job and they can see the message and they can see the value and they want to help. I've got a pocket full of business cards that I can't wait to get back home and start calling and you know, making these contacts and building these relationships. Tonight's just been unbelievable. It's gone past what I thought it would be, and I'm very proud and honored to be part of it.
It goes very, very quickly, because as soon as it started, you get only 3, 4, 5 minutes to present your business. It's very quick.
Yeah, and it was hectic, so I can't say that I was completely comfortable doing it. I was definitely nervous, and you might have noticed I made a couple of jokes, because that's how I deal with my nervous. It's nervous laughter. But Dean Foley, who created this accelerator, he's done a fantastic job. And I'm very proud to be part of the first alumni class that's going to assist the next lot of Black Swans coming through next year.
We are in Indigenous Business Month, the month of October, and what you just said is exactly what she wants out of the business month, for Indigenous entrepreneurs to work as mentors for the next generation.
Well, I'll tell you something very personal that just happened to me on this program. So one of the participants during the last workshop, we discovered that she had been taken advantage of by a vendor that she trusted to get some technical work done. And she took it pretty hard. She, like, clearly upset her. And I'm just fortunate that with my experience, I was able to help her very quickly recover from that setback. And it's at that point when she told me how grateful she was and how much it had helped her, it was at that point where I realized I really, really want to be part of helping, using my experience and my knowledge to help other entrepreneurs succeed. Because there's a real world out there. There's going to be people that take advantage of people, whether it's an Indigenous business or not. And the feeling that I got, the internal joy that I felt from helping her do that, it's changed me, and it's changed me forever.
Yeah. And just before I let you go, there are some values and principles that you Indigenous entrepreneurs really, that are very, very important for you. Can you elaborate on those values that you mentioned them, the values by which you go?
Yeah, so we run our business the way we run our lives, and it includes several, and but what I mean by that is we hold ourselves accountable to several different values: trust, integrity, reciprocity, spirituality. But what this program has showed us is by embedding those cultural values differentiates us from Eurocentric, what people would call mainstream business, We want to be seen as entrepreneurs that, you know, have integrity, trust, all of that, where companies can engage with us and know that they're going to be looked after and they're going to get a dollar's worth for a dollar's pay.
Yeah. And this month, the theme is Indigenous Ingenuity in Business. You mentioned something that you're about to patent that's really testimony to that ingenuity.
I'm a true geek. Like, I spend my time, my downtime, I'll go and do some research and find out what's new out there. Can I use it? Can I leverage it? What impact do I think that new technology will have in Australia and in Indigenous business? So I'm really trying to stay ahead of the game. And we have started to build what you would call a little black box using open source technology that is based on what's called a Raspberry Pi. A Raspberry Pi is a single board computer that you can buy for as little as $29. We want to build that runs our particular piece of software that will sit inside a person's network, monitor that network for things like hacker intrusions, phishing email scams, that sort of thing, and give alerts to the owners of that business. So they're not discovering that they've had a breach months down the track and they've lost all that valuable data. Up until recently, that sort of technology really has only been available to enterprise customers that have got the money to spend on expensive cybersecurity mitigation technology. And we think that, you know, that sort of technology should be made available for every business, not just rich companies. Because I can tell you right now firsthand that these security breaches, and as I presented, you know, in the latest survey, 90% of the companies surveyed in Australia suffered some sort of breach. Those breaches affect small business a lot harder than what they do the big ones. The big ones have got the resources to recover. The smaller ones sometimes don't. 60% of small businesses that suffer a data loss close within 12 months. That's a statistic. We want to really change that.
And in a cost-effective way.
In a very cost-effective, affordable way, yes.
When will this product be available? Because I want to be the first one to announce this to the whole world.
It's in development, like I said. What's really holding it up, you know, is the resources. I've been doing it myself personally, being a geek. But to ramp it up, we really need to get some additional employees working on it. And that's where, you know, the announcement of the Australian angel investor that's we're in the final stages of negotiations to seed the company is going to come from. We've already started interviewing for a national sales manager and to build our sales channel to start building our income stream. And then from that, we'll start putting some serious money into research and development.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.